I want to talk to you tonight about not forgetting who you are, and I want to bring that into some things that are happening right now in our world, because there's so much out there happening. You know, the great thing about the body of Christ is we might be in this world, but we are not of it. And the spirit of this world and the things that are happening all around us doesn't have to dominate us. We're free. We're redeemed from fear. And if you were here on Sunday morning, you know we talked about being delivered from fear and not having a spirit of fear. And we're going to sort of pick that up tonight, but we're going to go just a little bit different direction. You know, I want you to know that there's good news from the Word of God. All you might have been hearing all week long from the news or whoever's talking about it, and everybody's talking about the virus. Everything you hear is just bad news, bad news, fear, fear, fear. Well, I'm going to give you some good news tonight, because there is some good news, and the good news is you don't have to be afraid, you don't have to be bound, and you don't have to be sick, because we're redeemed from sickness and disease. I know the news media hasn't told you that, but the Bible still is true. And all the things that we've been meditating on for years in order to feed our spirit and build our faith. Hey, folks, now's the time to practice it. Now's our opportunity to actually live in victory. And let's just go ahead and do it. What do you say? So have you found James chapter number 1? James chapter number 1. Let's start reading in verse number 21. It says in verse 21, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." That means renew your mind. Your and my mind is renewed by the Word of God. You know, after we get saved, we have to have something else happen. We have to begin to renew our mind. Salvation is free. It's instant. But the renewing of the mind and crucifying of the flesh, that's a process. And that's something that we must do. God doesn't do that for us. So he's talking about that here. It's mentioned also in Romans chapter 12, verse number 2. "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And so that's what he's talking about. He said, "Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." He's talking to Christians. These are people already born again. And he said their souls weren't saved yet. And so what he's talking about is a different part of their being than got saved. We are spirits, we have a soul, we live in a body. And the soul includes the mind, will, and emotions. And that part of our being needs to have something happen to it after we get born again. And that's what he's referring to. All right, let's keep reading. "But," he said, "not just renew our minds, but be ye doers of the word that we hear," that renews our minds. "Be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Look at that. Not just hearing the word renews our mind, but being a person that begins to practice what we hear. And so he said, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Then he said, "For if any be a hearer of the word," he's like unto a man. If any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. And then he says, "For he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was." Then he said, verse 25, "Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, and being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his doing." Amen. Praise God for the word. Now, this is James writing under inspiration of the Spirit, and he's using a natural illustration to illustrate a spiritual experience that we have whenever we hear the word or meditate on the word. And he's saying when a man hears the word, he's like a man beholding. Now, I want you to see that, because whenever you and I hear the word, we get God's picture of who we are. We see the image of who he says we are in his word. I'll tell you, Somebody said one time, the epistles, you know, the books after the Gospels, the epistles of the New Testament, they're God's family photo album. I mean, you can look in here and you can see yourself. Now, somebody said, we see Jesus in the Word. Absolutely. He is the living Word, and He's revealed in the written Word. But also, the Bible says, we hear in this passage, it says, we see ourselves. We behold ourselves. Why? Because when we were made new creations, we were put into Christ, and whatever He is, that's who we are. Now, that sounds like heresy to some people, but we're going to see that as we go on tonight. He said, he's a man, when he hears the word, he's like a man beholding his natural face in the glass. All right, so what's he talking about? What we're saying is, when we hear the word of God, God reveals to us who we are in Christ. In other words, he reveals the new creation. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. It's going to be very applicable to what we're experiencing in our culture all around us today. So if you'll just hold on, we're going to get there. So he sees who, whenever a man looks into the Word and meditates on it, he sees, he beholds. Did you see that? Whoever hears and the Word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding. Beholding. Well, that means looking. So we spiritually, we look at the new man with our ears. That sounds funny. But what we're saying is, when we hear God's word, God reveals an inner picture of the image of who we are in Christ. The image that God has of us. Now, you're going to have to pardon me. I might get happy tonight. But here's what I want you to see. The Word of God is a faithful portrait of the new creation. The Word of God describes you and me in detail. Now, I don't mean you and I in the flesh. I mean you and I in Christ, the new man, all right? And so when we look into the Word, we see ourselves, but not in our own negative critical light. We see ourselves in the image that God made the new creation. All right. And so the epistles are God's family photo album. Now, when you, if you had, your family takes a family photo and then they send it to you on the internet or you, however they do it, guess who the first person is that you look for? You vain person, you. No, I'm kidding. I do it too. You're the first person you look for. You don't look for Uncle Tom or Aunt Sue. You look for yourself. Right? And that's what you need to do with this word. See who you really are in Christ. Let me tell you right now who you're not. You're not afraid.
No.
You're not afraid of disease. You're not afraid of a virus. Not the new man. Not the new man. The new man is a man of authority. The new man is a man of authority. And so we're going to get into that a little bit. I'm going to tell you why I'm not afraid of the coronavirus. I'm going to tell you why I'm not afraid of any disease. I'm going to tell you why no believer has to be afraid of a disease. Now, if you're a visitor tonight and you've never heard anything like this, you might be thinking, well, that's sort of pompous and arrogant. I mean, you know, how can you tell whether you're going to get it or not? Well, we'll look at it in the Bible together. So don't turn me out. There's truth that'll set you free. And we want to look at it together. So when God raised Jesus from the dead, well, first of all, whenever Jesus was crucified, he wasn't crucified for his sin. He was crucified for our sin. And the Bible puts us in him in everything he got. He died because of our sin. So he was dying a death for us. So we died. He paid the price for sin for 3.5 days. Because not of his sin, but because of our sin. He rose from the dead after 3.5 days in victory over Satan. Not because he ever needed victory over Satan in this life. He fully mastered Satan in this life. But he allowed himself to become our sin and come under the dominion of Satan in order to redeem us who were in sin and under Satan's dominion from all of Satan's works. Can I get an amen through the live stream? So what he was doing for us. And what he did, whenever he died, we died. Whenever he was crucified, we were crucified. Whenever he was buried, we were buried. And this is all in the epistles. And whenever he was raised, we were raised. When he was seated at the right hand of the Father, the Bible says in Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 2, God raised us up together and made us sit together with him in heavenly places, far above all principality, all power, all might and all dominion and every name that's named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come. Amen. And so everything Jesus was doing, he wasn't doing it because he needed it. He was doing it because we needed it, and he was becoming our substitute, and he was doing it for us so that we could have what he had. He became who we were, sinners, bound, sick and busted and disgusted, so that we could become who he is, raised victorious, free from sin, free from bondage, free from devils, free from demons, free from sickness and disease. Free, 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 free. And that's who we are right now. That's who we are right now. So when Jesus was raised, we were being raised. Amen. And so whenever Jesus rose from the dead, he said, "All authority is given unto me. Go ye therefore. Go ye therefore." And he delegated that authority to us. Now the new creation is raised and seated far above all the forces of darkness. Can you say amen? The original plan of God in the original creation was that man be in dominion. If you look in Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over everything that creeps on the earth. And then he said this, over all the earth. So man was originally created to have dominion. When man sinned, he fell from that place of dominion. And one of the things we see whenever man fell, Adam and Eve sinned and they fell. One of the things we see is that one of the first things that shows up is man's body began to die. He wasn't going to die before that. His body became mortal. Pay attention very closely, and we'll get some answers tonight for coronavirus. His body became mortal. It's one of the most difficult things for religious people. I'm not talking about people with revelation, but I'm talking about religious people who just have a religion of Christianity or Christianism or whatever they have, but don't have any revelation of Christ and the real purpose of him coming. They have a religion. A do-good religion and no revelation of the new creation and him being in Christ. And so those people have a difficult understanding what really happened and why, what happened when man fell and how that affected man. For one thing, man's body was not immortal whenever he was first created. His body was not mortal when he was first created. His body was immortal. Did I say that right? His body was not mortal. It was immortal in the original creation. What does that mean? His body had no ability to die. His body was would have lived forever. You understand that? And so what we see then is that the man's body changed. Now mortal means it's subject to death. It's now subject to disease. You understand? And man fell from that place of having dominion over everything on this planet, including disease. And man, all of a sudden, disease showed up. And we start seeing diseases in the Bible. Man was not created to have disease, and there was no disease on the earth before man fell. Sin opened the door to disease. You understand that? And this natural creation also fell into a fallen state. We see the plants die, animals die, there's death and decay, and so many things happen. But even man's body is not in the same condition as God originally created it to be. God created man immortal, but now he's not in that condition. But God didn't create sin either. He didn't create Satan, but Satan got dominion over man when man fell. The Bible in the New Testament says that Satan is the god of this world. God didn't make Satan the god of this world. Adam made Satan the god of this world by submitting himself to Satan and yielding to sin. And therefore, all Satan had now lords it over man, including sickness and disease. We read in the Bible in Acts 10:38 how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, and he went about doing good and healing, get this, all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Healing was God's work, and sickness there in that verse is called oppression of the devil. Oppression of the devil. When Jesus ministered to a woman bowed over with the spirit of infirmity, she said, "Ought not this woman be loose whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years?" Jesus declared sickness to be satanic oppression. And coronavirus is satanic oppression. And so what I'm here to tell you tonight, man fell under, because of his sin, man fell into a condition where he no longer had dominion over sickness or disease or anything that the enemy pushes. But I'm here to tell you good news tonight. Whenever you came into Christ, you were born again. And that new man was raised up with him together and made to sit together with him in heavenly places. Far above all these forces of darkness. Far above Satan and all his works. Not just sin. We have dominion over sin as the new creation. But over sickness and all the works of the devil. The Bible says to us that Jesus came to deliver us from the works, plural, of the devil. Not just sin, but works, plural. And that means everything that sin opened the door to the devil to do. Allow the devil to do. Amen? And so that curse came on the earth when man sinned. The curse came on the earth. We read that in the book of Genesis. And man fell, and creation fell under the curse when man sinned. That curse includes sickness. You can read that in Deuteronomy chapter number 28. Sickness is part of the curse of the law. And there was none here before man sinned. And when God originally created man in the earth, everything was very good. Without sickness and without disease. Although there are these bodies will physically die if Jesus tarries his coming and we grow to an old age and finish our course, yet we have the down payment. I was talking about this on Sunday. The down payment of what we will get and what is to come whenever our physical bodies are changed to once again become immortal. We have the down payment of what will make these bodies immortal. We have the down payment on that now. And it's written in Romans 8 verse 11. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. And the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead will quicken, that means make alive, our mortal bodies. That's these bodies right now that we have. That there is an anointing in us as believers that the new creation has received that keeps this physical body alive if we'll mix faith with it. Amen. If we'll mix faith with it. Because the Bible said all these things work by faith. Now here's something I want you to understand. And that is that the life of God that made you a new creation will affect your physical body. You can receive that life into your physical body to make your physical body stay alive until you're done with it and have finished your course down here. And you can stay strong physically. And that includes being free from sickness and viruses and all the things that the world's talking about right now. And so we have physical bodies that are mortal, but yet, right on the other hand, we have authority over disease until we run our race. We're not going to live down here in the physical body forever. We're going to go ahead and die because we've not yet been delivered from physical death. But that's going to come. The Bible said the last enemy that will be put underfoot is death. But we have deliverance from sickness and disease in these mortal bodies. You understand that there are scriptures all through the New Testament that talk about authority over demons. For example, the Bible says, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." The Bible says, "Whom resist steadfast in your faith." That's James 4:7 and 1 Peter 5:8. The Bible says Jesus rose from the dead and said, "All authority is given unto me. Go ye therefore and cast out devils." In other words, he's delegating that authority over devils to us. And we can see that, and there's many different ways we can look at that in the New Testament. But here's what I'm saying. If we have authority over devils and demons, then we must of necessity have authority over all they do. Pushing sickness and disease. Now, here's the reason why. Let me illustrate it with this. Let's say the city you live in, right where you are, wherever you are right now, gives a policeman the authority, they swear him in, gives him the authority to arrest criminals if they commit crimes, and gives them authority to do that. And that means that if he has authority over criminals to arrest them if they commit crimes, then he has authority over crime. That policeman has authority over crime. He can stop criminals from committing crimes. He can stop, since he has authority to arrest criminals, he can stop criminals from what they do. You understand what I'm talking about? Well, let's bring that into what I'm talking about. If we have authority over devils, then we have authority over what they do. Just like that policeman. Do you understand that? Sickness is called the work of the devil. And it's the foul offspring of its father, the devil, and its mother, sin. Amen. I don't mean necessarily the individual sin. Sometimes people hear things like that and they think, well, that preacher's saying that everybody that's sick is sin. I didn't say that. I didn't necessarily say the individual sin. I said that we have authority over sickness and sin because it's of the foul offspring. I mean, sin and sickness is the foul offspring of Satan and its mother, sin. You might say, are you saying that I sinned and that's why I'm sick? Well, yeah, we all have sinned, but I'm primarily talking about Adam's sin. There are people that are sick that haven't necessarily sinned in the sense that their sins are all forgiven. They're on, under the blood of Jesus. You understand what I'm talking about. And so, but right on the other hand, because of Adam's sin, man's body fell into a mortal condition, and it's subject to these kinds of things. Except when a man is born again and becomes a new creation, the new creation is raised up to a place of authority over sickness and disease. And I can get a shout through the internet. That would be a great blessing. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, sickness entered the earth whenever man sinned, and that's how it got dominion here. That's how it got into the earth. It's very evident that man intuitively knows that sickness is an enemy because he's tried to conquer it since the beginning of time through medicines and programs and doctors, and I thank God for all of them. Don't you misunderstand me. But see, what I'm saying is man knows sickness is an enemy intuitively. Right. Somebody said, well, we just don't know if it's the will of God to heal us. Well, then stop going to the doctor if you don't believe it's the will of God. No, you don't believe that. Down on the inside, you go to the doctor because you want to be well, because intuitively you know this is not a friend, this is an enemy. And you're going to the doctor to get well because you intuitively know it's God's will for you to be well. And that's exactly what the Bible said. Jesus had a man come to him. He was a leper in Mark chapter number 1. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus said, I will. In other words, it's my will. Be clean. And he was healed. Somebody said, yeah, but that was just Jesus and that was just that one man. We don't know about God. Well, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And Jesus also said that he's no respecter of persons. The Bible said he's no respecter of persons. That means what he's done for one man, he'll do for all. That means anybody that gets coronavirus. And that means anybody that the virus touched their body, healing power is available to heal their bodies. Can you say amen? Man knows this, but it's amazing how Christians can be confused about these things. They'll spend a fortune trying to get a cure, but then right on the other hand, try to tell you they don't know if it's God's will or not. Well, it is God's will. And so you can know that it's God's will, though, and still be sick. We've got to exercise dominion over the sickness and disease. But it's hard for religious people to understand that largely, because they're all confused in their minds about these things, that largely the laws that govern the earth today came into being because and with the fall of man. Adam sinned and the curse came upon the earth, including man's body. You understand what I'm talking about? Amen. So many believers don't understand that because they think that, well, if it was the will of God for me to be healed, then I'd just be healed and it's automatic. But no, we have to know something and we have to believe something and we have to exercise authority. Because, you know, it's the will of God. Somebody said, well, if it's the will of God for everybody to be healed, then why aren't everybody healed? Why isn't everyone healed? Well, that's very easy. Just like it's the will of God for everyone to be saved. God's will for everyone to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's not willing that any should perish. He died for the sins of the whole world, the worst sinner, the worst criminal. Amen. But yet, right on the other hand, some people aren't saved. But that's not because God hasn't done his part. It's because man hasn't done his part. And we're here to tell you tonight, our part is to renew our mind, be transformed, and look at who we are in the new creation. I'm getting back to James in a minute. And find out who that man or a man is. Look in the mirror of this word. see who that new creation is. He's a dominion man. He's a commanding man. He's a faith man. He's a man free and delivered from the curse of the law. He's a man who is redeemed from sickness and disease. And let's bring it home. Redeemed from coronavirus.
Amen. Yeah.
That's who that new man is. But see, you get to looking around at the world over here and the world over there, and they're talking about all this kind of thing, totally oblivious to who they really are. There's a lot of people today, born again people, that are not acting like who they are. They're not acting like a new creation. They're not acting like a commanding man. They're acting afraid. They're acting like disease is big and bad and ugly and bigger than them, and they can't do anything about it. They can do something about it. They can exercise dominion over disease. Amen. And so, but it's hard for religious people to understand that. When Jesus came, he came to redeem us back to that place of authority. That's why he said, all authority is given unto me. Go ye therefore. And he delegated that back to man. And he's offering you that tonight to exercise that authority. Jesus wants you to know something tonight about coronavirus. And that is that you have authority over it.
Yes.
Yeah. Amen. But many believers don't understand that. And so they accuse God of these kinds of things. God's the one causing disease. God's the one doing all this. But no, the fall of man put things into motion down here where the curse came and disease was a part of that curse. That was never a part of God's original creation and never God's plan. Amen. So we have to help people understand that. We're not here to condemn anybody tonight. We're here to just hold up the mirror of the word to you and say, look in here, look in here, look in here. And so you can see who you really are and the dominion you really have and walk in the light of it. All right. And so Jesus, when he walked this earth, he walked in dominion over these things. In fact, if you want to go to a verse, you might want to look at this. The Bible says that when Jesus was here, I have it written here somewhere. Luke talks about it, I believe. In Luke 4, verse number 38 and 39, Jesus went also out of the synagogue, entered into Simon's house, and Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her, and he stood over her, listen to this, and he rebuked the fever. Notice that. He rebuked the fever.
Right.
And the next part's the best part. And it left her.
And
it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. You might say, well, that's Jesus. I'm not Jesus. Well, we sure know that. We know that. But remember, Jesus, the Bible said, as he is, so are we in this world. So are we. Somebody said, yeah, but I can't do what he did. Wait a minute. John 14, the Bible said, Jesus said, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Whoa. Well, we're not Jesus, so how are we going to be able to do the works that he did? Well, Jesus didn't do the works he did because he was God in the flesh. Somebody said, you're saying he's not God in the flesh? I didn't say that. He was God in the flesh. But he was also a man.
Yes.
But he didn't do the works that he did as God. He did it as a man anointed by the Holy Ghost. Someone said, oh, I don't know if that's true or not. Well, just think about it this way. Remember, he didn't do one single miracle until he was at the age of 30 and the Holy Ghost came on him. The Bible said he turned the water into wine. That was the first miracle. And then this, the beginning of miracles, did Jesus of Nazareth and showed forth his glory. That's in John chapter number 2. Well, why didn't Jesus do any miracles before that? He was the Son of God, wasn't he? Sure he was. Well, why didn't he do any miracles before that? Because he had laid aside, according to Philippians chapter number 2, he had laid aside some of the attributes of deity and some of the privileges of deity and became a man, and he walked this earth and operated as a man under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and that's why he only did miracles whenever the Holy Ghost came on him in the River Jordan, and he was baptized of John, and then the Holy Ghost came on him. Amen. And then Jesus walked this earth doing signs, wonders, and miracles as a man anointed by the Holy Ghost. Otherwise, how could we do what he did? And why would he say, the works that I do, you'll do also? How on earth could we do the works he did if he did it as the Son of God? Well, he did it as a man anointed by the Holy Ghost. Therefore, that puts the works he did in the category of we can do them too. And we have to hear that. And we have to look in the image of the Word of God and see that, or else we're going to act like we can't do anything about disease when all the time we can. All the while we can. We can do something about it. What can we do? Just like Jesus. He rebuked the fever and it left her. Woo-hoo-hoo. That's not giving you a shout. If that doesn't make you shout, you got no shout in you. Yeah, but that was Jesus. We already answered that question. Well, the second question people have, they say, well, I didn't know fevers could hear. Well, they must could hear because it left her. Right. See, Jesus was buking the spiritual force behind it. Amen. That's what he was dealing with. And the body responded. Because in the new creation, we have authority, all right? Now, let's move on. Somebody said, can fevers hear? Yeah, and so can viruses. Right. Yeah, and so can viruses. Amen. But that was Jesus. Well, the Romans 5:17 says, they that receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, they'll reign in life. The word life is Zoe, the God kind of life. That's what we got when we got born again. I told you I'm going to preach myself happy. I'm just a doing it, like the old preacher said. So, but here's the thing. Here's the thing we need to understand. A lot of people are trying to exercise authority over disease, and yet a virus, when they haven't yet exercised dominion over what is keeping them from ruling over disease, and that is fear. Fear. Faith and fear can't work in the same heart. And faith is how we exercise our authority. It doesn't work that way. Jesus in Luke 8:50 said to a man whose daughter, they gave a report that his daughter had died. And Jesus in Luke 8:50 said to that man, as soon as that report came, fear not, believe only. See, faith and fear won't work in the same heart. He said, fear not, believe only. And so the measure that we're afraid is the measure that our faith won't work. Amen. That's the measure that our faith is diluted. And the ability that faith gives us to have victory is diluted. And listen, if we're constantly hearing the report of everything they're saying on the news, our faith is greatly diluted. That's right. Greatly diluted, and it becomes weak and emaciated. We've got to look in this word and feed our spirit on this word to build it back up. Yeah. Bible said Jesus in Matthew 6, he said, fear not. He said, talking about, you know, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? So forth. He said, why? He said, they're talking about, O thou of little faith. He said, because you're afraid, you're of little faith. He's talking about the same thing that I'm talking about. So praise the Lord, we can be delivered from sickness and disease through exercising authority over it. But we have to, first of all, exercise authority over fear. Right. And fear is the root. Sickness is the fruit. Yeah. If you hit the root, the fruit will be dealt with. Yeah. Amen. Goliath was a big fella. And David had to overcome not just Goliath, he had to overcome the fear that was coming against him in the spirit realm. Right. That was a bigger deal for David to overcome than Goliath. Goliath, I guarantee you can go to heaven whenever you go to heaven and ask him, and I'll come and visit you, and you'll say I was right. That David will say the bigger thing than Goliath was the fear coming against me, because all the army of Israel was back there, you know, shaking in their boots. You know, the Bible said their hearts melted for fear of Goliath. And that fear hit David just as much as it hit, you know as well as I do, it hits all of us sometimes. But yet, right on the other hand, David overcame that. The devil loves to send alarming messages and slam your mind to get your attention off of what the Bible says you are and make you forget it. And he wants your attention on everything he's saying. And he's propagating fear in the day we're living in in order to grab people's attention and hold them in bondage to fear. But I'm here to say to you, it's time for us to get our attention off of all that the world's saying out there right now. Get our attention back on the mirror. Yes. The mirror. Good. James 1. Yeah. Looking into the mirror. Beholding who we really are. Beholding the new creation. Beholding the dominion, the commanding man that we are over sickness and disease. Praise God. Amen? A man who has authority over disease. There's a lot of people who are not acting like who they are right now. Yeah. A lot of believers have full dominion. They go to heaven later. They're going to be ashamed of themselves. If they're not ashamed of themselves already, getting hearing the word. But they're going to be ashamed. They're going to say, why on earth didn't I listen to who the Bible said I really was and exercise dominion over that? But they're not acting like who they really are. When you are something, Satan, when you're born again, you become who God says you are. Satan can't change who you are, but he can change who you see yourself to be. And therefore, he'll change the way you act. And you won't act like who you really are as a man with authority over disease. You understand? Because the only thing he can do is get you to forget. Let's go back to James 1. Look here. This man, he said, verse 23, if a man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholds himself and goes his way. And what's that next part? He goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. Forgets. See, in this covenant, in this Bible, the New Testament, the epistles especially, we have the image of God, who God says we are. What manner of man we are. What kind of people are we anyway? Are we weak and defeated? Are we bound and sick? Are we under the dominion and authority of the enemy and everything that he wants to do? Are we still under the curse? Are we still under sickness? Or are we redeemed? Are we lifted? Are we raised up together? Are we made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ? We're going to have to decide which man we are. And if we're looking in here, God's going to keep on showing us the picture of who he sees us to be. Now, you might see yourself to be one way. God sees you to be another way. And you got to make a decision. Who is right? Who is right? Am I the way I see myself to be? Or am I the way God says I am? You're going to have to decide. And I'll give you a clue tonight. God's right. If you're a new creation, God's right. You have authority. You might not feel like you have authority over disease, but you have authority over disease. You are a commanding man. There's two passages of scripture. I'll just give you the references for time's sake tonight. But you can just write these down. I think I've got them written here somewhere. The Bible tells us in, I think it's Mark 8, I'm not finding the references right quick. Mark 8 and Luke 8, if I remember right. But both passages, around the 25th, 26th, 27th verses in those passages, both passages, here they are. I got them in front of me. It's not Mark, it's Matthew 8. And Matthew 8, 26 through 27, and Luke 8, 25. Luke 8, 25, and then Matthew 8, 26 and 27. Actually, there's a bigger story around those verses, but both of those give you the same thing. That's whenever Jesus was going to the other side of the lake, going in a boat, and he fell asleep, and a storm came up. And the Bible said the disciples woke him up and said, don't you care that we perished? And he said to them, in both of those verses, in both of those passages, I'm going to go to Luke's account here and I'm going to read this because it's so good. It's necessary for me to say it like Jesus said it. They woke him up and said, don't you care that we perish? And it says here in verse number 25, Jesus said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this, that he commandeth even the wind and the water, and they obey him? He had just been woken up, and he said, why are you so fearful? If you read Matthew's account, you read Luke's account, I can kind of paraphrase it all. Why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith? He stood up, commanded the storm to stop. He rebuked the storm, commanded it to stop. And then he said to them, where is your faith? Where is your faith? In other words, he's expecting them to do that. They thought, my goodness, I've never seen a man that could command the storm to stop. And what manner of man is this? They were trying to figure out what kind of person he was. And he's looking at them saying, if they only knew what kind of person they were. Where's your faith? Where's your faith? I'm preaching better than your amen, and I can't hear you tonight. Amen. That's just funny. But so don't forget what kind of person you are. You're a faith man. You're a commanding man. You're a redeemed from the curse man. You're a redeemed from sickness man. Praise God. So I want you to know that. Now, think about this. Jesus gave us authority over disease, and turn with me, if you got your Bible there, to Job chapter number 22 here. We're not going to go a whole lot longer. Are you getting the word just like you do here at church? Praise the Lord. It's all right to shout in your house. Yeah. If your cat gets scared, it'll do her a lot of good. Yeah. But Job here, let's look at the 22nd chapter, the book of Job. Job 22, and let's look at verse number 21. This is in the King James, first of all. And then we'll quote this or refer to it in the Amplified. Job 22, verse 21. He said, "Acquaint now thyself with him," with God, "and be at peace, thereby good shall come unto thee." Now, the Amplified, I can't quote it exactly. I don't have it here in front of me. "Acquaint now thyself with him." Agree with God. Maybe you have the Amplified, you can look at it. It's something to this effect. Agree with God. And then it says, "and be conformed to his will." Remember that? If you've got the Amplified, it says something to that effect. So there's three things that we need to understand about renewing our mind. Now I'm kind of going back to James chapter number 1, and he said there, be not subject to the world's thinking, but restore your soul, have your mind renewed by receiving with meekness the engrafted word that's able to save your soul, and then be ye not just hearers but doers of the word. All right, so we're saying here's how you can tell you have a renewed mind. Number one, you become acquainted with the word. This is what the Amplified says. Number one, become acquainted with the word. In other words, you got to find out what the word says about you. Faith begins whether you start knowing what the word says. So number one, acquaint yourself with the word. Number two, agree with God that that's who you are. Agree with God. Don't say, "Well, I'm not." Yeah, Jesus has authority over disease, but not me. Well, if you're born again, that new creation in the image of God is now just like back there in Genesis 1 where God said, "Let man have dominion." And so agree with God on that. And then number three, become conformed to that. So James 1 is talking about the renewing of the mind. Now I'm just now getting to the good part, so don't tune out now. James 1, talking about the renewing of the mind, right? And the renewing of the mind includes acquainting ourselves with the word, agreeing with the word, and being conformed to the word. That means, conformed to the word means act in line with the word, or act like the word of God is true. Now you might feel funny talking to sickness or disease, but see, you need to start acting like the word of God is true. Someone said, "Well, it can't hear, can it?" Well, it must. Jesus spoke to it and it left. But really, see, what it hears is authority. That's what it hears. You understand? And so when we conform ourselves to the word, it means we act in line with it. We act like it is true. Isn't that right? And so this is evidence that our minds are renewed. When we are acquainted with the word, number one, we agree with the word. And number three, we conform to the word. We act like it's true. And so if we've received the word, he's telling us to give proof to the fact we've received the word. In other words, show ourselves to be conformed to it. Let's stop acting like we don't have authority over coronavirus. Well, how do people act like they don't have authority? They're afraid. They're afraid. The Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear. And that includes of these diseases, these pandemics. Sunday morning we preached on what the Bible calls, it's translated plagues, but it's also called pestilences. And in Psalm 91, he said, "You'll not be afraid of the pestilence that walks in the noon and around and just, you know, 1,000 falling over here and 10,000 over here." And we're not afraid of those things. Why? Because we know who we are. We're redeemed. We're a commanding man. We have authority over disease. Let's be conformed to that. Let's conform our actions to that. Let's stop acting afraid because we've got dominion over these things. So be conformed means we act like it's true. Act in line with it. Stop acting in fear. Start acting like you have dominion. Dominion works by faith. Bondage works by fear. The Bible said God's not giving us the spirit of bondage again unto fear. So we're free from these things by being free from fear. We have dominion over them by walking in faith and exercising authority and being conformed to that. And so if you and I are not in control of our decisions, in other words, something like fear is molding us to do things rather than us deciding whether we're going to do that or not, then our minds are not renewed. And the devil has locked us out of walking in our dominion because we're not acting in faith. because we're acting in fear. We have dominion, but he's locked us out of it. Yeah. Does that make sense? Renewing the mind is it means to act like who we really are and have a transformed life. Because it says in Romans 12:2, this is how life is transformed, by being renewed in our minds and thinking like the Word of God tells us, and then acting on it. Now let's go back here to James 1. We're going to wrap this up. If you have your Bible there, turn back to James 1. Praise God for the truth. We're just feeding your faith. You know, you can't get your faith fed anywhere else in this world except in church. Amen. I mean, the news media is not going to feed your faith. They're basically mouthpieces for fear. When was the last time they told you all about a revival and spent three whole weeks talking about a revival? You know what I'm talking about? When was the last time they told you? In fact, the news media didn't tell you, did they? That we had a person here just recently healed of stage 4 cancer. They went down to skin and bones. It was a hard thing. You know, when you love people, it's a hard thing to watch them go down to skin and bones. They're just at the very verge of death. And this dear sister in the Lord, she went down to skin and bones. She went down to just almost to death, and stage 4, I guess, but must have been stage 5, become stage 5. They didn't tell us that, but she was right close to death. But she was completely healed, and she's alive and well today, and strong and doing well. Why didn't the news media tell you about that? Because they're not a mouthpiece for God. Why didn't they spend the last 3 weeks talking about that and exploring why that happened and what happened and what did they do? And the doctors didn't do it, and that treatment didn't cure it, and the doctors kept trying to treat it, and they wasn't curing the disease. Why haven't they spent 3 weeks on that? Because they're not a mouthpiece for God. They're a mouthpiece for fear. Amen. That's their propagation. That's what they're propagating. But see, we're here to put faith into you. Amen. And so let's go back here to James 1. We're going to wrap this up. James 1, verse 22. I want you to see something here. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. That's interesting, isn't that? What is the deception, he said here, that we deceive ourselves about? The deception is thinking. See, he's talking about a man. Let me qualify something. He's talking about a man who hears the word but is not doing it. Someone said, well, he heard the word. He got enlightened, didn't he? Well, he said, yeah. But he said, there's a deception here. If he's not doing it, there's a deception here. What is the deception? The deception is thinking that the joy and the blessing of getting in and hearing the word is the only blessing that there is in it. Because how many of you know there is a blessing in hearing the word? I mean, we get edified and it brings joy. Like this service tonight, that's just bubbling in my spirit. It's giving me joy to look at the fact I got authority over sickness and disease. I get joy out of that. But see, if I don't go out and act on that, I deceive myself. What is the deception? Thinking that the joy and the blessing that I get when I hear the word is the only blessing that there is in it. No, there's more blessing in it. Amen. You and I are no better off hearing the word and not doing it than we are if we don't ever hear it. There's no more blessing in it than not even hearing it. You understand what I'm talking about? There's a measure of joy that comes whenever we hear it, yes. But if we go out and forget, we're deceiving ourselves. And it's called coming up to light and not walking in it. Coming up to light and not walking in it. Yeah, we saw the word, but what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? Are we going to just act like, well, that's all exciting, you know, but then we go and turn on the news and see what they're saying and forget all about it. Forget who we really are and turn away from that mirror and forget who we really are. What are we going to do about it? Walking in the light means making some adjustments to the way we respond to the circumstances of life. It means changing our lifestyle. It'd be like a man who's born again and he starts seeing something in the Bible that says, the Bible says something's wrong, something that he's doing is wrong, it's sin. And he sees that, but if he doesn't go out and make those changes, you know, then he hasn't changed his lifestyle, then he's not becoming a doer of that. Well, same thing true with being a doer of the commanding nature that we have through the new birth. We must act on that in order for that not to, that word that we heard when we go away and don't do it, that we deceive ourselves. See, the devil, some people say, well, the devil deceived that person. Well, a lot of times it's self-deception. Yes. Yeah. Amen. So when you would normally react in fear to evil reports, you conform to the new knowledge of who you are, of what manner of man you are, a faith man, a commanding man, a man in charge, a man who can tell sickness and disease to, and just like Jesus, rebuke sickness and disease, and it'll leave just like it left for Jesus. Whenever that, when you're conformed to that, then you'll tread on these things. And where was once fear, you'll be walking in victory. Amen. And so where is your faith? I'm asking you right now concerning this situation, all that's going on out there, all they're saying, where is your faith? Forgetfulness causes you to forget your faith. Let's not be forgetful of who we are. Forgetfulness allows the old image formed in the dark room of our own negative light take over again and deceive us after we've heard the word. We can hear the word, go our way, and not practice it, forget it, and then the old negative image of us being weak, us being without power to do anything, us being without any authority over sickness and disease, that old image that was formed in the dark room of our own critical self, of criticism of ourself, that negative image will once again creep in and begin to deceive us, and we'll be bound just as if we never heard the word. And just as if we were never redeemed from sickness, and just as if we didn't even have authority over sickness and disease. The image remains in the imagination because the old one wasn't washed out by the word. You understand what I'm talking about? That means to maintain God's image. Let's look here in verse number 25. Let's read verse James 1:25. It says, this man who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein. In other words, he doesn't let this image slip that he sees. Continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his doing. Oh, there's a blessing beyond just hearing. There's a blessing in doing. What's the blessing in doing? It works for you. And you start walking in victory. So we're told here in James 1:25 to continue in the word. That means to maintain God's image of ourselves that we saw in the word. The image remains in our imagination by our confession of it and by our actions on it. And you have conformed to it by being a doer of it and by now acting on that new image. Now you're conforming to that new image. You carry in your consciousness the knowledge of who the new man is, and it doesn't slip because you keep acting on it. You keep feeding it and you keep acting on it. Can you say amen? And so, whenever a man forgets to act on it and he turns his attention back to the old image of, you know, well, this is going around, I might get it in fear and I don't know what to do and so forth and so on. He forgets that. Then, now, he has deceived himself. What is the deception? He now has lost that image of who he is, and now he sees himself in the light of a lie. You understand? The light of a lie. And he once again becomes dominated by and subject to the image of that was in the natural mind that was formed in the darkness of sense knowledge and not any revelation knowledge. Forgetfulness is one thing, but you and I must realize this passage is warning us of a much deeper danger. And that is deception. Self-deception. Amen, to be exact. This is something that is dangerous. Whenever we come up to the Word of God, come up to the light of the Word of God, we are to walk in it. And when we do not conform our actions to what we see, right there, when we don't practice what we see, the reality of the Word leaves us. We slip out of the light that came into our spirits and back into our natural minds, where Satan deceives us. We actually allowed him to do it, deceived ourselves, but Satan took advantage of it. So we forget what manner of man we are. How many of you can understand what happens here? We see this happen in our lives and see it happen in other people's lives. We forget what manner of man we are. We forget what manner of man. Look here. He forgets, verse 24, what manner of man he was. What manner? Who's he talking about? That new creation. what manner of man that new creation is. We're not old creations, we're new creations. We forget that the new man has a new position in Christ, far above all these forces, all these things that people are talking about. The new man has a new position, he has new privileges, and he has new possessions. The new possession is authority. The new position is seated far above. The new privilege is walking in dominion over the things that people are bound by. Other people are bound by under the curse. And we start acting like somebody other than who we used to see ourselves to be. We see ourselves in the light of the Word. We start acting different. A new man, I'm going to close with this, has new abilities. A new man has new abilities. One ability that this new man has is in Luke 8 and Matthew 8. I did it. I preached myself happy. Luke 8 and Matthew 8 are the two passages where the new man, this manner of man that they were trying to understand who he was. They said, what manner of man is this? And he said, where's your faith? In other words, if you just knew what manner of man you were, that new man has a new position, new privileges, new possessions, and he has new abilities. And one of those abilities is in Luke 8 and in Matthew 8. What is that ability? A man, the ability to rule and reign. The ability to command. The ability to exercise dominion over sickness and disease. And I'll just say fear too. Fear is as a spirit. The Bible said God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. You've got authority over anything that doesn't come from God. You've got authority over it. You've got authority over the spirit of fear. God's not given it to us. We don't receive it, and we can exercise authority over it. Let's act like who we are. Yeah. What do you say? Yeah. Amen? Right there in your room, right in the living room, wherever you are, let's pray together before we close, and we each go our own way. Let's pray together. Father, I stretch forth my hand to these that are watching tonight in the authority of the name of Jesus. Together there in faith with me, we rebuke the spirit of fear that tries to get a hold of our hearts and minds. We rebuke the spirit of fear that's trying to get a hold of this nation. And we say, no, you don't, Satan. Not here, not now, not on our watch. We are free. In Jesus' name. Satan, take your hands off of us. Take your hands off of this nation. Take your hands off of the bodies of those who are bound. Take your hands off of this nation. Are you in agreement with me? Let's just lift our hands and rejoice. Let's all stand. If you're in the living room right there, let's stand up. Father, we thank you for delivering this nation. We thank you for delivering this nation and the people of this nation. We thank you that the spirit of fear will not rule this nation. It'll not rule the church. But we'll rise up and take our stand in who we really are. Father God, those around us, we will take the good news of redemption to them, not a message of condemnation, but a message of good news that there is freedom from fear, and there is freedom from disease. Father God, we thank you for giving us utterance. Give us opportunities to share the good news with others. We thank you, Father God, for making us the light that we really are by opportunities to share the message of the authority of the believer. In Jesus' name. Father, we rejoice that this nation is free. We ask you for our president, for our governor, for our leaders, those that are making decisions. Give them wisdom and insight. Lord, help them to respond in faith to leadings of the Spirit, to the voice of those who speak by the Spirit, to respond, Father, in faith and not in fear, so that, Father God, they wouldn't be a part of spreading it. We thank you for this. We ask you to give them light, give them revelation, send laborers across their path to speak the word of God into their lives, speak the word of God into their minds. And Father, we agree for them to have wisdom to make the right decisions in Jesus' name. We'll give you all the praise and you all the glory. And everyone agreed, said, Amen.